between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
Yeah, that's the Flintstones.
Really?
Yeah, that was from before the dawn of time.
Really? That's I couldn't get my head around that beat.
No. It's complicated.
Complicated.
Yeah, it's prehistoric. It's from the prehistoric times when they...
Is that Fred Flintstone?
That's Fred Flintstone.
Flintstone.
It's pronounced, yeah.
As in Ray Winston.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Fred Flintstone.
Flintstone Churchill.
And that's Barney in the background.
Barney Rubble on the rocks.
Exactly, he's scratching. And Bam Bam is responsible for the little stabs. Beat. The horn stabs that sound like the beginning of Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he play on that as well, Bam
ding,
Bam?
Ding, ding, do you really want to hurt? That's what I thought was going to happen right the way through that song with those little stabs. But they never get there. It's frustrating. But that's what prehistoric rap was famed for.
Yeah.
And that's why it's moved on since then. I'm only joking, that was Run DMC.
It's from 1984, which sort of is prehistory.
That's true.
And this is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're back after a three-week sabbatical that has done nothing to improve our radio skills.
No, that's true. I've been staying with... I've just come back from staying with Will Smith. And,
really? So you have?
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Wow, how was that?
It was amazing. You know what? I can't remember where I said we were going to stay. I thought we were going to stay somewhere like Mustique or somewhere, one of Will's islands. In the end, we went to space.
Really? What a surprise.
Yeah.
Did he not tell you until you were on the ship?
Yeah, no, it was a total surprise.
It was a surprise.
He blindfolded me.
Really?
And yes, we went to space. And wow. Barry Sonnenfeld was there.
Sonnenfeld?
Yeah, it was exactly like Men in Black.
Really?
And Tommy Lee Jones.
That's not set in space, though.
It's based on space. There's people from space in it.
That's right.
And many of whom...
What planet did you go to?
It's not well known.
No. So not the moon.
I wouldn't want to say because I wouldn't want to go out next year and everyone's there. You
well,
know?
It's private, isn't it?
It's a private... Yeah,
it's private a private moon. Planet.
Private planet. Yeah. But no, it's nice to be back, though, even though it's a bit of a miserable day in London.
It is, isn't it? But we've got a great show coming up for you to cheer you up, including, what's it called? Song Wars.
Song Wars is the name of the feature.
Yeah, the oldest and longest-running competition in the country.
It's not really a competition. Well, it's a competition between you
between
and I.
Us,
that's
yeah.
true. Yeah, or between you and me, I should say, in that case, shouldn't I?
I don't know.
It's embarrassing when people try and go and do the correct
but
grammar
I think
and
it's
actually.
Between one and I.
Between one and am.
Between am and one.
That's coming up later. Also, Text the Nation, which is the second longest and most respected running feature in the history of radio.
Yeah, plus lots of great music in this hour alone.
Why don't we have some right now? This is Ida Maria with I Like You So Much Better When You're Naked.
Crikey, O'Reilly.
Well, it's not finished yet, mate. There you go,
that's,
now it's
that's
finished.
Part of the song.
That was Ida Maria, not Ida Maria. Why would you pronounce it Ida Maria?
I didn't, you did.
Oh.
You've got some kind of lunar sickness.
I have.
From your space travels. That's called I Like You So Much Better When You're Naked. It's interesting to observe that standards of personal grooming in terms of the nude body have risen dramatically in the last 30 years.
Absolutely. I was thinking that this morning because I left the house, I ran out of deodorant.
Oh.
And no one likes to run, and it's not something I normally do. Normally I would buy like a three or four deodorants at a time at the supermarket. I never like to run out. I like to have them all in a line there.
You stink.
And I absolutely stank. By the time I got off the tube, it was a disgrace. And, you know, I used my wife's deodorant. And girls, I don't know what they're doing there, but they must smell. Or they just, they're so slight, they don't generate any funk. Because I was badly let down by my wife's deodorant on the tube. But now everything's cool. But what were you thinking of in terms
something
of
completely different.
Uh-huh.
If you look at naked people from the turn of the century, or maybe the 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, they're very different.
That's true.
They don't really trim.
They don't trim?
No.
Right, right.
You know, it's
hair-wise.
Like shoving a forest into a small plastic bag.
Yeah, that's true. It is it's fashionable to be plucked and shaved.
Have
now.
You ever stumbled across an erotic magazine from your parents' generation?
I've
maybe
seen one
in your
once
dad's sock drawer.
In a museum.
Really?
Yeah. Well, The Joy of Sex, of course, was the wonderful tome that captured that era. And everyone was, yes.
Just, I'm saying, standards of nudity have risen.
You reckon risen?
Yeah.
I think it's a decline.
I think
it's a
shame. People take
more care. Well, I think they're over-fussy. I think it's nice to wander around with all the forestation growing happily. Pumping out CO2.
Thank God you said CO2.
Yeah.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, back from our amazing three-week holiday, refreshed and restocked with two ideas each.
What are the ideas?
The idea for Text the Nation and the idea for Song Wars.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The idea for Song Wars, when we set it up a few weeks ago, I don't know if anyone can remember that far back, was to write a song for the Quantum of Solace, the new Bond film.
Mm-hmm.
When we left you 3 weeks ago, they hadn't quite settled on who was going to sing it. People were talking about Duffy. People were talking about Amy Winehouse. But now a decision's been made. There was a press release a few days ago. The world's buzzing with the news that it's Alicia Keys.
And Jack White.
And Jack White.
And Jack White, even this is a little tidbit for you listeners. Our producer Jude, her boyfriend's guitar is played by Jack White on the track.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Wow. Is it in decent shape? Is it in tune?
That's a pop fact for you.
Does it have any idiosyncratic twangs or...
It's vintage.
It's a vintage guitar.
So that's good. I mean, no one's heard the song yet, have they?
No, and the song, interestingly, isn't called The Quantum of Solace.
No.
It's called something like Kill Me on the Lips.
Right. Ooh.
I just made that up. But that would be a good name for a Bond song.
It would be very good. Now, you know what? I was thinking of it last night because my song ends with the refrain, Quantum of Solace. I mention it quite a lot, right?
Mm.
And I thought, I bet you Jack White doesn't even mention it. I bet he's too cool for the whole thing. He doesn't even mention
the name of the song.
Doesn't even mention
the name
of the
film. Well, it's a tricky thing to rhyme.
Yeah.
Adam and I were at a wedding last night, listeners, and we were sitting next to...
Might need a name drop sound here, Jude.
I was sitting quite near to Richard Curtis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the film, man what writes and makes the films.
Yes,
and we were. His partner is Emma Freud, the lovely Emma Freud, and she's once read a book by Stephen King.
No name drop sound needed there, Jude.
Why not?
That's just a reference to a person.
I was trying to fool her. Last night I saw a film starring James. But
anyway, what were they saying?
They were trying to rhyme something with Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
All we could think of was Dollis, the old shoe shop.
Yeah.
And that's no good, because kids don't know what Dollis is. That clerk, they went bust, didn't they? Did they? I don't think they exist anymore. Maybe they do. If they do, I'm sorry, Dollis.
Well, we discussed this before we left, didn't we? The other thing you could rhyme it with was Wallace, as in Wallace and Gromit.
That's right.
And I was really trying hard to work in a Wallace rhyme.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, there we go. So I get another name drop queued up. I was sitting next to Rob Brydon.
Mm-hmm.
He came up with that. He, for some reason, has written a Quantum of Solace song as well.
Has he?
I only came in on the fag end of the conversation, but that's what they were talking about.
What's he doing writing Quantum of Solace songs?
I don't know.
He's on our patch.
All comedians are all over it.
Get off our patch.
It's the most unimaginative idea in the world.
Oh, wicked.
Wicked. Anyway, but I haven't rhymed it with Dollis or Wallace.
Neither have I. I've gone for a different rhyme.
Really?
Yeah, I've rhymed a different word.
Really?
Oh, you're going to find out.
I'm excited. So that's coming up soon.
That's coming up within the next half hour, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, in fact, like within the next quarter of an hour.
Just ground to a halt there. Let's play another record. This is a
free play, and this popped up when I was on holiday with Will.
What are we talking about now?
Smith, the song.
The song.
And we were out there, we were by the pool, and I had the iPod or MP3, non-generic MP3 player on shuffle. And this song popped up by Bananarama and the Funboy 3. I hope this is the version by Bananarama and the Funboy 3. And I forgot how amazing it was. You know which song this is, right? This is their cover of It Ain't What You Do, It's the Way That You Do It. Check it out. Here you go. That's it's a brand new group. They're called the Dandy Warhols, like Andy Warhol, but with a D in front. And the lead singer is a man, and the lady that plays the keyboards doesn't wear any clothes at all.
Really?
That's her gimmick.
That's a novel twist.
That's a novel twist.
Has that ever happened in pop? Has there ever been a nude band?
Nude? There must have been, surely. I mean,
I know in the 60s a lot of bands got nude.
Yeah, they get nude, don't they?
But has there ever been a band whose whole thing has been to
spend
nude?
All their time nude? Yeah. It's only a matter of time.
We're obsessed with nudity.
We are.
The BBC as a whole is obsessed with nudity.
And the lavatory.
It's not. I was just trying that out as a statement.
There's nothing wrong with it. I maintain that it's a leveller. You know, it's something that we all share.
You're obsessed with the lavatory.
I love the lavatory. It's my favourite room.
I'm obsessed with nudity. And when we come together, we are nude in the bathroom. That's our band. That's what they're called.
Listen, we've already made two mistakes. It's not even 25.
That's true. The shoe shop isn't Dollis, is it? I seem to remember there was a shoe shop called Dollis. Someone's texted in to say it's Dolsis.
Dolsis.
Which is quite right, because that rhymes better with Solace, does it?
No.
Well, no, but it's got a C in it.
Yeah.
That's good. It doesn't exactly rhyme, but there's something going on there that's a bit better, if you ask me.
There's the IS at the end. makes it sound a bit like solace.
Yeah.
Dulcis solace. Also, I said I was referring to forests pumping out CO2. No.
Right.
They don't really, do they?
No, otherwise they'd be pollutants.
Exactly. Otherwise they'd be worse than cars.
You'd everyone have to chop them all down. In fact, and replace them with massive fields of cars. In fact, there'd be a government drive to cut down all the greenery.
Yeah.
That would have been a better M.
Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Shyamalan. Have you seen that one yet?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You love it? No, it's not very good.
No.
But it's quite fun to watch.
Right.
Sometimes the bad ones are better than the good ones.
He's your favourite.
I do like him, yeah. He's got terribly sparkly eyes. It really does.
Yeah.
He's got beautiful eyes.
That's right.
Listen, next weekend, as you might have heard on that trailer, this very show, will be coming live from the Summer Sunday, which is a very exciting festival that takes place where, Adam?
Leicester.
Yes. And it's a weekend of music. Who's on the bill? Do you know?
Supergrass.
Yeah.
I'm just quoting from the trail. Jonah's Policewoman.
There you go. And apparently we'll be in... And the Six Music Ice Cream Van. Does that exist? If it doesn't, I'm going to be really upset if it's a figure of speech. Because that would be perfect. You'd have microphones in the shape of ice creams.
Yeah.
You'd have, you know, the things that you pull, like on a bar when you draw beer.
Instead of, right, exactly.
Instead of faders.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. No, it'd be wonderful. Good. I don't think it's referred to as the ice cream van, though, is it? Or is it?
No, in the trailer it is.
It's a 1950s... Airstream, one of those
really?
Silver American characters.
It's not an ice cream van.
It's amazing.
So that's a lie, really, isn't it?
Beautiful.
It's a BBC lie.
But then we...
Summer Sunday.
Got you. Sunday
I know,
ice
with
cream.
An AE.
Yeah. And we'll be passing out flakes, that kind of thing.
It's a lie.
That is a lie, actually. But no, I can't wait to be there. Are you going along, listeners? In fact, I'm going to a festival this weekend.
Are you?
When I leave here today, I'm going to the Big Chill.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
You're going to do some comedy there?
Tonight I'm hosting the pop video night I do, Bug.
Good one. A
collection of pop videos from the BFI. And then tomorrow night I'm doing a bit of stand-up at the Underbelly tent.
From the BFG?
It's nothing to do with BFG.
Really?
No.
Will he be there?
Yeah. He runs the festival.
With his snoozle trumpet.
Yes, he runs. Yes. He's playing after Leonard Cohen.
Giving out a whole lot of... What does he eat? What are those cucumbers called? The big friendly giant eats.
You know what? It was never
snoozle
my favourite...
wiggles.
It was never my favourite Roald Dahl book.
I like it.
Do you really?
If you're at the Summer Sunday, though, next weekend, do try and come and say hello. DJs always say that, don't they? But if you actually do try and come and say hello, you'd probably get hit by security.
Yeah, we got a lot of security. But no, do. And similarly, at Big Chill, come and say hi. It's going to be rainy, though.
Yeah.
Haven't got my wellies. Anyway, listen, more music now. This is Essa with Headlock.
Oh, you got me in a headlock.
Oh, you got me in a headlock. Who's that geezer?
He's called Esser and the song's called Headlock. It's the first track playlisted at Six Music to be available as a T-shirt. Apparently it's a digital release and you can't buy it on CD. You have to go and buy a T-shirt and that gives you a sort of serial number and that lets you download the record. This is a whole new innovation in record releasing. It's a shame we're just coming up to the news because we could bang on about that for some time. Maybe we will do after the news.
It's released as a T-shirt. I mean, that's more or less, that means that the apocalypse is pretty much nigh.
Really? Is that one of the signs?
That's one of the signs.
In Revelations.
Written in Revelations, yeah. When stuff starts getting released on a T-shirt, it says, etched in stone, then things are going to start ending.
We'll come back to that. This is Adam and Joe on Six Music. It's now time for the news with Harvey Cook.
Very good. That's Bob Mould, a.k.a. Sugar, with If I Can't Change Your Mind. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC's Six Music. We're very happy to be back after a break of 3 weeks. That's going to be our last break for a while, I think. You know, we're chained to the castle now.
Not allowed to leave.
Quite some time.
We've used up all our holiday allowance.
All our holiday passes.
Here till Christmas.
And beyond.
And beyond. But now, it's time for a regular feature. It's Song Wars.
Who will win the Song Wars today? Perhaps it will be Adam, or it could be Joe. Either one. You will be the one who decides by texting or emailing when you hear the clips.
Although they can't text, right? For this one?
Wait. I like this jingle. Doesn't Tony say something towards the end?
I just vary the here. Oh, no, no, it's much later, even.
It's much later. Don't you say Poopy-Doo at some
I say Fatata.
A Fatata. Surely that's worth waiting for. There we are.
There we go.
Okay, Song Wars, if you've just tuned in or you're a new listener, is the part of the show where Adam and I compose songs entirely on our owns, using our computers, and they're on a theme. And then we battle them. And the way we battle them is by playing them both, which we'll be doing in a second. And then we get you to vote for the one that you like best. Or worst, if you hate them both. You can take a sort of loathing point of view on the competition.
And for this, we're asking you just to email your votes, right?
Right. Big British Castle has new, very stringent rules about any kind of competitive or interactive activity.
Quite rightly so.
Rightly so, yes. This is a national service.
Exactly. I mean, many people have died in the past with competitions going wrong, texts going awry.
Yeah, lives have been lost. Lives have been ruined.
You know, families
little girl
have been torn apart.
Who wanted to enter a competition, and she did. But what she didn't realise is that she had no chance of winning.
Exactly.
And as a result, she died.
And there was another man in the north of England who texted his vote to a competition.
Oh, God.
And the text failed to get through.
Oh,
and he died.
Just instantly.
He died.
He exploded.
So we don't want that to happen.
He popped.
I mean, enough people are dead, I think.
Enough lives have been lost. You know, stop this madness.
Stop the slaughter.
Fine,
and just
everyone.
Email your votes for Song Wars, even if you're listening again on the wonderful Listen Again
service.
Especially
if you're listening again.
Exactly.
The email address is Adam and Joe, all one word. The word AND is the and, not an ampersand, dot the number 6music@bbc.co.uk.
You say email addresses like my dad says phone numbers.
I try and explain them as long-windedly as possible.
7009553315.
That's just a very long number. You cheated.
Okay, so it's Bond songs, or more specifically, Quantum of Solace songs.
Yeah,
when does Quantum of Solace come out?
I think in October or something, November maybe, towards the end of the year. It's very exciting.
How much do you know about the film?
Quite a bit.
Oh, really? And
well,
did
actually, not that much. I know that it continues the story from the previous one, which I'm not happy with.
Uh-huh.
I like Bond to be freestanding adventures.
Right.
With a different silly nutball every time.
As if anyone can remember what the story was in the last one.
Something
anyway.
Something about Vespa. A Vespa.
Something about men chasing each other.
Slapping each other's muscly faces.
And a bit of torture.
But this one continues on. It picks up 10 minutes after the last one. The last film that did that was Halloween 2, wasn't it? And look at that. For a disaster. The only good bit was the bit with the razor in the apple. And that was obviously awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know. It involves a lot of slapping. You're right. Probably some light testicle torture.
Have we got a coin for who's going to play our song first?
Whose song is going to be played first?
Yeah, that's
get
true.
The coins.
Get the
Here
coin.
We go. I've got one.
Okay.
Heads or tails?
I'm calling heads to play mine first.
Okay, if it's heads, yours is played first.
Yeah,
this is exciting. That's... It is heads.
Ooh.
Okay, give us a little introductory spiel about your song, Adam Buxton.
Well, I was talking to Richard Curtis last night.
How come he doesn't get a demeaning noise?
Yeah, from the Vicar of Dibley.
Ooh.
Right. And I was saying to Richard that in my opinion, the classic Bond themes have had many different segments in there.
Oh, God.
Like Live and Let Die.
You know, being a classic one.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Didn't that win an Oscar?
It should have done if it didn't. But, you know, that's got the reggae section in there, and there's a kind of jazz breakdown in there. It's a brilliant... It's maybe the best Bond theme, in my opinion. And I'm always very fond of having little sections in my Song Wars songs anyway, so I thought, this is ideal. But actually, the way it turned out, I really did my best to construct the song from scratch. No loops in here, except for a couple of drum loops. But it's all played from scratch, and as a result, it's a kind of cacophonous nightmare. And also, I'm really singing on this one as well.
Wow, I'm excited. What is it called? The Quantum of Solace?
Yeah, it's called The Quantum of Solace.
It's a good title. How did you think of that?
I don't remember. I think Will Smith suggested it.
Right.
So let's hear what you think of it.
I'm working for the Brits. I've got cars and guns. guns and gadgets. I've got ladies with big brains. I've got licenses to kill. I've got licenses to fish. I've got sexy suits and air miles. But here's my biggest wish. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace before I shoot you. Bottom location chase, bottom location chase. Shooting dirty baddies in the busy foreign street. Bottom location chase, bottom location chase. Running all around and now I've really hurt my feet. Ow.
Sir, Mr. Bond.
Yes, hello.
You want to stop me?
I do want to stop you, yes, but only if it's exciting.
I met a lovely lady, but found out she was a rotter. So we exchanged some saucy quips. I snogged her, then I shot her. But I felt quite bad because I'm such a modern, complex guy. Sometimes this job gets to you, and maybe that is why. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace before I shoot you. Quantum of solace, I'm saying the name of the film over the music. Quantum of solace, I did it again just there.
I think we will meet again, Mr. Bond.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a very scary villain.
No, he's not.
Bond doesn't sound like his heart's in it either.
He's quite tired. He's been at the gym all day.
He's only 10 minutes after the last one.
Exactly. He's absolutely exhausted.
So you're going there with quantum as a measure of quantity, right?
Is that not what it is?
In physics, a quantum, plural, quanta, yeah. I'm not reading this, is an indivisible entity of a quantity that has the same units as the Planck constant and is related both to energy and momentum of elementary particles of matter called fermions, yeah, and of photons and other bosons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The word comes from the Latin quantus, for how much. So it's actually an indivisible entity of quantity. So it's a very small
amount.
It's
a very small.
I don't know that you could go into a newsagent and ask for a quantum of pear drops.
You could, surely.
Could you?
Absolutely.
What would the reply be? Do they even sell... Do they decant sweets like that anymore? Maybe in country towns?
Yeah, they would have little tiny jars.
Yeah, tiny. Just one pear drop.
You're just shavings of pear drops. Yeah. A quantum of pear drop. What else is it about? What's the title? I mean, it's, you read synopses of the film on the internet and there's no mention of solace or quantums.
Oh, he's just very lonely.
Is he?
He's, yeah.
Well, that's what I was trying to get at, you see.
You were, that was good, though.
Interesting.
He has a license to fish.
Yeah. I was going to make loads of license jokes. Let's hear yours.
And air miles. I like the air miles reference because that's an aspect of Bond you don't hear about a lot.
No.
He must really top them up.
Well, he must have loads. He gets into all the lounges.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Misbehaves there. Kills people and makes a mess. So that's Quantum of Solace, song number one. How are people... Yeah, that's Adam's song. You're just going to have to vote either Adam or Joe, I guess, because they're both called the Quantum of Solace. And is that being offered to the makers of the film for use if the Jack White and Alicia Keys thing falls through?
Well, actually, they called me last night.
Did they?
Yeah. And they said that they would like to use it.
That's funny. What time did they call you?
They called me at 9:15.
They called me at 9:20.
What?
And said that they'd spoken to you, but they'd subsequently heard the song and thought it was plops. That was the word.
Did they use the word plops?
Yeah, it was Cubby Broccoli.
That's a bit harsh. And
they thought a Buxton song, plops. It's plops.
It's,
and then they say, yeah, let me hear. Does that, is that how Cubby Broccoli speaks?
He may have done when he was alive, but... I think he's the late Cubby Broccoli. You would be talking to his widow now.
Really?
She's the one that deals with the franchise.
I was talking to him via a Ouija board. Yeah, this was a sale, not on
play
the phone.
Play your song.
Okay, here's the song. This is my Quantum of Solace song, and it's pretty self-explanatory, really. I will say that I bought a new jam pack for my garage.
Oh, which one did you buy?
Strings.
Strings.
Yeah, I thought you needed some strings. So this is Quantum of Solace song number two.
He's got a gun, great big man tits. He's got
your ears in tiny trunks. Dame Judi Dench is furious with him. He's gone completely out to lunch.
There we go. Song number two.
That's good.
So that's the big fight this morning between Quantum of Solace song number one and two. Mine was a bit less silly than yours.
What are you... What?
I don't know.
I went for a classic You Only Live Twice style era.
I was more like Bowie via Madonna. That's what I was thinking. Did that come across at all?
No. No. But that's good. That's good. That's going to win, I think.
You never can tell.
You never can tell. But listen, let's have some more real music now. This is Joe's choice for you, listeners.
Yeah, it is. It is. But don't forget to email your votes for Song Wars at adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. We announce the winner in a couple of weeks. Next week. We'll announce it next week.
Well, yeah, when we're at Summer Sunday.
But do vote right now. This is a free play. This is from... this is the RZA, right? This is what we're having next. This is from, the RZA's new album, The RZA as Bobby Digital. This is fantastic. It's the clean version. So there are some backwards naughty words, but they're backwards. No one will understand them. This is called You Can't Stop Me Now.
That was very good. Reckless Eric with Whole Wide World. That was recorded as a session track for the John Peel Show on Radio 1 on the 25th of September 1977.
I wonder if any listeners out there have got the RZA as Bobby Digital album. I've only heard that single. I wonder if the album's as good as that. That's the track we played before Reckless Eric there. You Can't Stop Me Now.
He's from the Wu-Tang Clan.
He is, yeah. They were playing in London recently. They were apparently very, very good.
What does their show involve, I wonder?
Puppets, a little nativity play.
Fun toot horns?
Some fun toot, always fun toot horns. A lot of audience participation.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Oh, that sounds like
it's
fun.
It's nice, isn't it? There is a beanstalk at the end.
Oh, good job.
No, I don't know. It probably involves killing and shooting.
Some of them are dead now, aren't they? From the clan?
Yeah.
Which ones?
ODB.
ODB.
Yeah.
What happened to him?
He got very ill off of drugs, I think.
Oh, did he?
Did he? I think he did. I think that's right.
It's never a good idea, kids.
No, drugs are... They don't work, basically.
To dabble with them. As I was on my way... This is nothing to do with any of that, but just by the by, as I was on my way from the tube this morning... I overheard a conversation between a man on the street, and he was sort of standing there looking hopefully at passers-by, you know? He would have looked hopefully at me if I'd been a little bit further down the pavement.
Hopeful for what?
Well, this is the thing. He basically stepped up to the bloke who was just ahead of me walking along, and I could hear him launching into a whole spiel, like, sorry to bother you, mate, I just, you won't believe it, I left the house this morning, I'm supposed to be on my way to hospital, you know, my gran's in there, I locked myself out of the house, I haven't got any money, you know, and it was one of those spiels, right, which you instantly think, you're lying to me, it's basically you're begging, but you've just decided that you're going to concoct this elaborate tale to somehow legitimize the begging as if you're making some sort of effort, you know? But then a little part of you always thinks, well, maybe it's true. And maybe I'm just jaded and cynical, beaten down by the modern world. And why shouldn't I believe my fellow man if he's asking me for help, you know? How do you respond in those situations?
Well, I always judge it on the quality of the lie.
Right.
I agree with you that, you can see through it almost instantly. But part of me thinks, well, this person's ashamed to be asking for money, so they're trying to sort of save face and self-respect by building a story. So, you know, if you don't believe it, it's a bit insulting to them.
So do you pick apart the story ever? Do you, like, challenge them on
facts? If they say they're collecting for charity, that's a popular one in my area,
right,
is a clipboard, a fake sponsorship form, and something about sponsoring kiddies.
Not the football guy. Do you get the football guy?
Possibly.
Because Joe and I live quite close in South London, and there was a guy who used to come round all the time, and I always used to give him money. Because one time he gave me his card, he sort of flashed a card at me, and he gave me a number even to call to check it out, and I phoned the number, and there was an answering machine message saying,
really?
You've come through to the local football nice place. And, you know, so he'd done all that.
Wow.
But so I was totally convinced and I was happy to give him money whenever he came by. And he sort of said, oh, you won't see me for, you know, I'll come around once a year or something. It was rubbish. He came around every couple of months
really?
Or whatever. I always gave him quite a lot of money. And then one day someone said,
you should have asked to go and see the team play.
Well, he wanted me to.
Did he?
He said he wanted me to. But he must assume that everyone is just going to be lazy and won't go along. Yeah, I'd love to see the team play. How are they doing anyway? I always had a little chat with him. But then someone said, the football guy is a total fraud and he's been busted.
The woman who I saw with the clipboard, and she was wandering around our local organic food market, but she was collecting money for homeless people and alcoholics.
Right.
So really, it was just a sort of semantic adjustment to an honest, you know, proposal. Because she was collecting money for herself, but she'd arranged it as if she was in charge of a scheme that helped people like her.
She was representing them.
Yeah, the scheme. Yeah, which is fine.
Absolutely.
I think one should always give a little bit of money and be very nice.
I mean, the one I fell for the other day was just outrageous, which is this guy saying, yeah, I live just down the road. I'm at number 35 down there, and just locked myself out. And I'm supposed to be going to pick up my kids. And, you know, he looked like a pretty respectable
kid. Always kids in jeopardy.
Yeah,
that's a key trope of these things.
And he was so specific. He said, I've got to go to the garage. I've got to get a new fan belt. It costs $9.99. Is there any way you could just lend me
a tenner?
And I will post it back through your door later today. Okay, here you go.
Gave him a tenner
for the fan belt to pick up his kids, because he's my neighbour. He lives down the same street as me. We're all neighbours, right? You got to help out your neighbours. No, and of course I never saw him again. And I just felt like such a jerk, and I wanted to find him and rip his fan belt out through his
Would you respond tonsils. To honesty if someone knocked on your door and said, hello, I'm addicted to crack.
Yeah.
And I can't afford any. And I really, really badly need some. I'm craving it. You wouldn't believe it. Please, please lend me £5 for a quantum of crack.
If they said it in that voice, I would.
Would you? They were very posh.
Yeah. But, I mean, what would you do? Like, if one day you were really in that sort of situation yourself and you were genuinely in trouble and you know, you had locked yourself out and you did have to get to the hospital to help your wife who was just been admitted there after a car accident or something, you know, you'd be stuffed, wouldn't you? Because
yeah, but you probably wouldn't stink of urine and have scabs everywhere. That's the key. It's the stench and the scabs.
That's the key, isn't it? We're going to launch Text the Nation very shortly. But first, here's some more music for you. This is REM. They're an exciting new band. The lead singer is bald and he has a blue stripe across his face. This is called Man-Sized Wreath.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's Text the Nation time here on the Adam and Joe radio show on BBC Six Music. What's going on?
I'm just trying some new headphones.
What?
Well, the previous ones I was wearing were mono, and I was sort of upset listening to some of the music was all coming out mono, and I'm trying these different ones now.
And why was everybody laughing at you?
Because I just got all, like, different headphones on.
You got
on
tangled
now.
Up.
Yeah. Now I have to take the new ones off to switch the old ones.
How undignified.
Don't worry. It's all fine. Everything's fine.
Thank God this isn't television.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd be a national laughingstock.
Okay, there we go. Oh, listen to that. That's amazing.
It's Text the Nation time, listeners. This is a complicated quiz. I'm going to explain it, so listen very carefully. We give you a kind of a question. You text in answers, and we read the answers out over the airwaves.
Not even answers, though, are they? They're comments, really.
Well, they're sort of answers. They're responses.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's another word for an answer,
responses.
I suppose.
Responses.
So this week, we are talking about T-shirts.
Yeah, novelty T-shirts. You know, listeners, if you buy a magazine like maybe Viz or the 40 and Times or Q magazine, towards the back, you might get a page-sized advert from a T-shirt company who are selling the latest T-shirts that it's cool to wear round the place, and it would have some kind of picture on it that's designed to make people think you're cool.
One of the ones I saw in Q magazine the other day, they had a whole page of particularly lame ones,
right?
Was I'm Barry Scott, and it's got a picture of,
from the Sillit Bang advert.
Yeah,
and student that's, favorite,
exactly. So it sums up a lot of what the whole T-shirt market is about.
A lot of them are very rude, so we got to be careful here. There you go. I'm the Stick. That's a popular T-shirt. That's a Top Gear thing, though, isn't it? I saw a child in an I'm the Stick T-shirt. That a child couldn't be the Stick. The Stick is their stunt driver, right? Who's like an anonymous, mysterious figure. Always masked, yeah. Well, that's popular. I don't think that's too stupid, though. It's popular, but not too stupid.
That's like wearing I Am Spartacus or something.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. But here is one, for instance, from, we're looking at the NME here, there's a page of stupid T-shirts. One says, I prefer Britney bald.
There you go.
So sometimes if you cash in on, you know, a pop cultural phenomenon, that can be a good thing to make money from. What else? There's another one with a picture of a scuba diver, and it says, the deeper you go, the better it feels. It's not about scuba diving, is it?
I saw one that said, I love lamp. What's that?
What does that mean?
And it's got like a little silhouette of a lamp.
Right.
So that's sort of student-y randomness, right?
There's your classics, your I'm with stupids, yeah. Your my parents went to XYZ and all they got me was this T-shirt.
Yeah.
Whoever invented that, did they copyright that, do you think?
You can't copyright something like that, surely.
I think you can copyright a T-shirt design, can't you?
No.
A statement you can copyright.
I like the Pope smokes dope. Someone's got rich off that.
Yes.
No.
Well, that's what this whole Text the Nation pivots around. We're trying to come up with slogans and design ideas that can make us a billion.
A pretty penny.
I think I've got one.
Have you?
It came to me during our break. Just the one idea.
Right.
I was trying to think hard of a new T-shirt slogan that would say if I set up a stall on Oxford Circus or Camden Market or any regional market... I think with an idea like one what I've had,
yeah,
I would make a lot of money.
Because what's going on in people's minds when they pass a stall and they see a T-shirt, they think, that is so funny and unusual, I have got to wear that.
Yeah, it's going to impress people, they're going to think I'm sexy and funny and clever, it's ephemeral, you know, it's fairly cheap, 10 to 15 to 20, 25 pounds maybe, yeah. I'm charging. And, you know, so it's like a badge, it's like a very big badge with sleeves.
Yeah.
So do you want to hear my ideas?
Hit me.
I was thinking very hard. And at first I was thinking along the lines of something to do with Area 61. Is it Area
61?
51.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Area 61 which, was
well, wait,
plants.
I was getting confused. I was jumping ahead of myself. Area 51, aliens are very confused. What? Aliens are very popular with T-shirt designs, you know, smoking a jazz cigarette or something. Mm-hmm. So my idea was Area 69.
Nice.
You can fill in the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a combination of filth... and aliens.
It
you
is.
Can imagine what the aliens are doing.
It's sort of a combination of filth and aliens, but not much else.
No, but you know, you don't want to stretch people's brains.
No.
That would sell. But then I thought that's not good enough. So then I thought, what about a video game one? What about if you had a picture of Mario from the Mario games?
Like it.
And he's just urinating. And he's urinating in a puddle and looking happy about it. And underneath it just says Nintendo Wii.
That's quite
it's
good.
It's not sophisticated, but there's a blunt baseness about it.
I was trying to think
particular
of
particular force.
Wee something, yeah.
But then I threw those away and I came up with what I think is the winner. Those are both copyrighted.
Hard to beat
by
Nintendo Wii.
It would be the look on Mario's face that's key.
Would he be urinating on one of the other characters, maybe?
Very possibly, on Yoshi. Or maybe Toad.
I like it.
I think. Maybe Toad.
That's fun.
Anyway, but I rejected those. You can have those. The winner, I thought, cash in on the Apprentice fever.
Nice.
Alan Sugar's fame. It's a picture of Alan Sugar, and he's going, he's in the you're fired position.
Right.
Pointing his finger. We'll have to get BBC approval for this. He's pointing two fingers, and in his two fingers are a jazz cigarette.
Right.
And instead of saying you're fired, he's saying you're fried.
Nice.
You know?
You're going to get rich off that.
I'm going to get... That's copyright Joe Cornish.
You could, at the very least, you could go into business with Sugar. I mean, if he's got the business brain that we think he has, then
he
would know that that is a winner.
He invented Amstrad computers. They're still the most popular computer in the workplace.
Absolutely.
They've got green writing.
And they go beep, 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 whenever you try and type anything.
The Amstrad PC95W12. Isn't that what it was?
You used to be a big fan of Amstrad.
I had one, yeah.
Man, that's a brilliant idea.
Well, there's three brilliant ideas, Adam Buxton.
I've only got one. I would say that's two good ideas, one brilliant idea.
Area 69.
My idea is also alien-based.
Good.
And you've got a picture of the classic little green man on the front there. He's wearing swimming trunks. And he's saying, take me to your Lido. I mean, the only problem with that one is that some people pronounce it Lido. But for my purposes, he's saying, take me to your Lido. Yeah, that's good. Are you laughing with approval or disgust, Jude? What are you... What? You're fried.
No,
just as good as you're fried.
I don't know. The first...
Take me to your Lido.
I like it, man, because the first half of the word is the same.
Yeah.
Lido.
Yeah.
Lido. Most Lido. People say Lido. That's the correct pronunciation.
He's not bothered about meeting George Bush. He just wants us to go for a swim.
That's good.
At the Lido. Brockwell. Lido. Anyway.
That'd be good for kids.
Yeah.
I mean,
be good for anyone.
Transgressive.
Listen, it's better than this other one. This is a real one. Jack Bauer could get off the Lost Island in 24 hours. What's that?
What is that? That's real.
That's a real T-shirt slogan. Why would you think, oh, I've got to buy that. I've got to wear that. I've got to let people know that I watched Lost and 24 and I've amazingly fused the two in this genius slogan.
So that's the idea, listeners. We want you to text us on 64046 or you can email adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Our team of researchers will be instantly reading your missive and it'll be specially assessed for whether it's suitable for broadcast. We want your ideas for brilliant, money-raising novelty T-shirts.
And, you know, whenever we do Text the Nation, sometimes we talk about the fact that we're going to get rich and someone should do this.
Yeah.
This time, I think it would be nice if we really did get rich.
Really?
Yeah. And it would be great if there was someone out there who had the wherewithal to help us actually produce some of the T-shirts
we're
going to talk about
today.
Well,
the BBC could probably get us in touch with Sugar.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you think, Jude? You work on this during the week.
Okay.
We want Sugar on next week to assess some of these ideas. Or, if not Sugar, then maybe one of the dragons. Mm. Maybe we'd put up with one of the fired dragons. The Australian one, who was only there for one season, and then went off. That one?
Yeah.
You're a great bloke. It's a terrific idea, but it's not for me. I'm out.
We'll get him.
Get him. To get me on the phone doing an impression.
But seriously, if you're out there and you're listening and you can help us manufacture some of these T-shirts fairly cheaply and help us get considerably richer than we are.
But first things first, let's not put the cart before the horse.
All right, then.
We've got to get the ideas
in. But we've
first.
Already got your fried and take me to your Lido, more importantly.
That's true. It's true. We're already in the money. 64046 with your ideas for killer novelty T-shirts.
Now, here's a free play for you, listeners. One of my favourite bands. And this is, I think, maybe one of their best tracks. And it fades in as well, Jude. This is unusual for a song, isn't it? Start it now. How many songs fade in? Not that many. And this is one of the best. It's Cities by Talking Heads. Apparently his Mercury's in retrograde.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean and why?
I don't know. But he's obsessed with the idea of letting people know about it and just talking about it until the message gets through. So listen, we're in the middle of Text the Nation right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the nation's favourite feature. We're asking you to submit your ideas for T-shirt slogans or just any t-shirt ideas, we want to get rich. Joe's got his brilliant Alan Sugar one. Alan Sugar's standing there and he's pointing, he's sitting there and he's pointing a jazz ciggy at you and he's saying, you're fried.
Did we say what that record was before?
Mercury's in Retrograde, is it called? No, it's just called Mercury by Block Party.
Oh, right. Jolly good. Yeah, t-shirt stuff. And we've already got some ideas in. It's hard to tell sometimes whether these are things people have made up or whether they're actual slogans.
Oh, I should say, incidentally, as well, that people have reminded us that I Love Lamp is a quote from Anchorman.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So here are some ideas that have come in. Somebody says, I mean, one or two people, just to get this going, they're telling us about slogans that they've already got and liked. You know, ones that maybe are genuinely quite good. For instance, Hugh in Cardiff is saying he bought a t-shirt that said, Home, honey, I'm high.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, is it?
Yeah. Home, honey, I'm high.
He swapped around the high and the home.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I suppose.
It's a bit depressing, though.
A little bit.
We don't want to come home high.
What's the home, honey bit, though? That doesn't really make that much sense. In order to completely work, it should be 100% legitimate.
Is this what you'd be saying to him if you'd met him at a party wearing that t-shirt?
Yeah.
You'd be standing there with a drink in your hand. Oh, your t-shirt's quite funny, but what's the home
thing?
I
see what you're trying to do with the t-shirt. I think it's about 70% there. I think it's amusing and made me chuckle.
You're clearly a funny chap, but you just don't think things through.
I mean, home honey. What is a home honey? It doesn't make that much sense, does it? Mm. Nice to meet you, though.
Here's an idea from Dave in Salford. He says, my t-shirt idea is, quotes, I was with stupid, but he's wandered off now and I'm growing increasingly concerned for his safety.
That's brilliant.
Is that real?
I've never seen that.
Other listeners, you're going to have to tell us whether you've ever seen these before.
People
could be trying to diddle us.
You've got to say whether you have claimed to invent them yourself or whether you've just seen them somewhere else. But that's a good one.
That's a very good one. We might put that into production. I'm going to asterisk that one.
Do a little picture of an asterisk next to it.
I'm going to draw a little picture of asterisk next to it. Here's another one from Chris in Cambridge. He says, hello, got a good one. 668. The neighbour of the beast.
That's very good.
I might have seen this.
Like I've seen that, but that's the hallmark of a brilliant idea, though, if you feel you've seen it
before. That's either well remembered or if it's made up. That's very clever, Chris.
The neighbour of the beast. I'm sure I've seen that.
We've got some, quite a lot of people are going for kind of, you know, just blatant truth-telling.
Mm-hmm.
John in Croydon. Have we already had a John in Croydon? No, John in Croydon says, he'd do one similar to those ones that say, drinking, the more I drink, the better looking you get.
Right.
But his would say, drinking causes your liver to shut down, eventually resulting in complete renal failure. I think that's good.
That's very good.
He's got the drinking in big letters and the small print smaller, obviously.
Yeah, because one of the real t-shirts I saw on one of the advert pages in Q magazine, I think it was, was a bloke lying down, apparently passed out in a field with a green t-shirt on that said paralytic. Instead of paramedic.
Ah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, why would you want to do
especially
that?
If you actually needed a paramedic.
Exactly. Especially if you are paralytic and you actually passed out and you're in serious
medical
trouble.
Attention. Then the paramedics would probably get there and be so insulted.
That's right.
By somebody using such levity. That you would die.
That's tragic. No, and we don't want the whole thing to result in death.
An anonymous texter has just texted us in something, an observation about how people who wear t-shirts like this, you know, it's a sign that they might be a bit thick sometimes. He says, I once saw a young chap wearing a Harry Potter and the Pornographer's Friend t-shirt. It depicted Harry Potter using wizardry to undress a young woman. He was holding a bunch of flowers. As my train pulled away, I saw him greet what I presume was his date. This was in Croydon. There's a sort of, I don't know, he's not really saying anything particular with
that.
Was that
from my dad?
Very possibly.
Listen, please keep your texts and emails coming in on the subject of t-shirt slogans. And please do indicate if you have invented them yourself or if you've just seen them somewhere else. But we've got lots more that have already come in, which we're going to tell you about shortly. But first, we're going to play some more music. And before that, here is the news read by Harvey Cook. That's Cake with The Distance. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. I'm Adam.
I'm Joe.
And that's how you can tell us apart.
If you missed our Song Wars songs at the beginning of the show, we will be playing them at the end of the show as well, at about 12:45.
I'm a little bit depressed about mine. I was saying, because I worked pretty hard on it.
Really?
And it was one of those ones, I got it finished late last night when we got back from the wedding, in fact. I did the final tweaks on it before I sent it into Jude. And it felt good, but then listening to it today just seemed rubbish.
I don't know, man. I've been having a little look at some of the votes that have come in via email, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk, and you're well in the lead.
No.
Yeah, people like a laugh.
Do they like a laugh?
They like to laugh. I thought especially yours was... in such gloomy times.
Yeah.
With the credit crunch.
The crunch. Le crunch.
Le crunch. The French apples.
Do you think...
falling from the sky.
Crunchy bars are doing better with the crunch.
They should call themselves credit crunchies, definitely.
Yeah.
And they should turn the inside green like money.
Also, there's a cereal called Crunch, isn't there?
Might be. Harvest Crunch.
Harvest Crunch, that's got to be doing well as well.
You think anything
like that? Because some people, where there's gloom, some people are capitalising on the gloom. Mm. You know what I mean? Someone has got to be having a good time thanks to the crunch. I'm just wondering who it is, that's all. Anyway, that's by the by. We're in the middle of Text the Nation. Are we in a position to read out a few more that we've
sure,
got?
Sure, yeah, we are.
Let's have the jingle.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
On Text the Nation this week, we're asking you to come up with brilliant ideas for T-shirt slogans. The kind of thing that if you set up a stall in your local market, you would have made £1 billion by the end of the day.
Have you ever actually gone and had a T-shirt made for you?
No, I didn't make... I have on occasion tried to make a T-shirt when I couldn't afford it as a kid.
Yeah.
I drew a Ghostbusters one.
Nice.
But it looked a bit wonky.
I went into a printing shop and I got someone to print me up a T-shirt. When I was at college, I was at art school. It's the kind of thing you do there at art school, crazy madcap ideas like that. And I had a couple of T-shirts made for me. I think I've still got some. Do you remember I made some? Like when we were doing the Adam and Joe show, I got it into my head that I was going to be a T-shirt Baron.
What did they have on them?
They had like random sort of designs, like drawn designs, very simple graphic-y designs. One of them had the word Henk, H-E-N-K.
I remember that one.
A little random word that I thought, this is nutty. I'm going to put this on a T-shirt. That'll play with people's minds in an enjoyable way.
How did it go, mate?
Not that well.
No.
Also, they were too small for me. So I looked grotesque wandering around in my Henk T-shirt. And yeah, that's as far as I got. But I mean, I'm going to go and get Take Me to Your Lido with the with the alien on there and the swimming trunks done very shortly.
Here's some more ideas that have come in from listeners. And people are being careful to stress that these ideas are their own.
Mm-hmm.
And we like that, a bit of clarity and honesty when it comes to the origin of your idea. Jesse in Shrewsbury says these are... his or her own work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the gender of Jessie.
Maybe she's gender indeterminate.
Maybe. A hermaphrodite.
Yes.
Or just confused.
What's the opposite of a hermaphrodite?
A hermaphrodite.
No, hermaphrodites both, right?
Yeah.
And what's something that is asexual?
A mannequin. No?
Anyway.
I don't know.
Carry on.
Hello, three designs for your consideration. Design number one, Roger Daltrey in the TARDIS. Underneath, Doctor Who.
That, well, you know, that's pretty basic
that's
stuff
good.
There. It's not bad. Not
It'll
I mean,
sell.
When I say not bad...
You mean bad?
I mean a little bit bad.
Second idea is my other T-shirt is a Prada. I don't know about that one.
Well, that, again, it does the job. I mean, there are many worse T-shirts than that on the market, let me tell you.
And then the third idea is Die Hard, Overdose on Viagra.
That's very good.
There's something there. Do you think Jesse made that up?
Yeah, I would say on the strength of the
We're
other
putting
two.
Putting that to market, Jesse.
That's good, though. Die Hard.
How would you do that? Would there be a picture of Bruce Willis? With
difficult.
A bottle of Viagra?
Yeah.
Or what about a picture of Nakatomi Towers, but it's floppy?
Not bad.
Not bad.
But then would Nakatomi Towers be instantly recognisable? They would if Willow was next to it.
If who?
Bruce Willow.
Oh, Willow. Well, speaking of which, here's one from Pete, and this is a good one. He says, silhouetted midgets hitting each other with pillows. The T-shirt reads, Willow Fight. Like the film Willow.
Fight.
That's quite good. They'd have to be like clearly medieval Willow-style midgets. Short
yeah,
people.
Yeah. What was the name of the actor in Willow?
Brian Dennehy.
No, not that one. The short actor. I forget his name. He's the guy... Oh, it's terrible. No, it's not Kenny Baker, although maybe Kenny Baker might be in it, but...
I know the guy you mean.
It's the other guy.
That's a good idea, though, isn't it? That's going to market at fantasy conventions.
That's not bad.
That one would fly, definitely.
I wouldn't wear any of these myself, though.
Wouldn't you?
No. I might wear your fried.
Really?
And what was the other one we had before? The neighbour of the beast, I might wear.
That was
wear.
Good. Yeah. Okay, here's another one. This is an anonymous texter says, most T-shirt designs are way too subtle. You should create a range of T-shirts with straight talking slogans like, I drink beer, I like girls, I take drugs, I have sex on them. That's quite good, isn't it?
I like the other one that's more specific about the what's going to happen to you if you are indulging on all these things.
Mr. Huggles, we've had a text from Mr. Huggles. He's a character from a forthcoming CBeebies series.
Is he related to Dr. Snuggles?
Probably, yeah. The nappy maker. He's got an idea for interactive T-shirts. A print of a dartboard on the front or back and some sticky balls to throw at the target.
It's a good idea.
With a small pocket on the T-shirt to keep the balls safe when not in use. So this isn't slogan-based.
He's thinking in a wider context.
In a wider context,
he's thinking even outside the box. Can we use that phrase?
Get annoying after a bit, wouldn't it?
Yeah. What, thinking outside the box?
No, though? People just throwing sticky balls at you the whole time.
It would get a little bit annoying. But in the world of
T-shirts... What if someone threw a real dart as well? You know, with the amount of stabbing in the world...
You're asking for it. Put a target on your chest, but it's a statement about the state of the world,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you know? So are you liking it? You're confusing everybody.
Well, I'm confused myself.
So that's good, isn't it?
Someone told me that global...
Confusion sells.
Yeah. Global hypercolor T-shirts are on the way back.
Apparently.
Right? That's the new thing. Those are the T-shirts that if they change colour...
Respond to your body heat.
When they get warm,
they were
right?
big in the 80s.
There's got to be something, there's got to be a fusion of the global hypercolour and some kind of crazy phrase as well. I haven't got it yet, though. Listen, shall we play some more music and then hear some more of these?
One more
to send us into Coldplay.
Okay, this is from Chris in Leyland. A T-shirt with Mr. T's Swimming Pool Installation Company written at the top, all right? Mr. T's Swimming Pool Installation Company. Then a picture of Mr. T with a speech bubble saying, I fitty the pool. That's good, isn't it?
That is quite good. It's a bit complicated, but it's worth it.
It's good.
Here's the mighty Coldplay with Viva La Vida. Viva La Vida by Coldplay. What is that about?
It's just about how revolutionary he is and how amazing his ideas are and how the world's having difficulty accepting them. How when he goes to heaven, how excited God will be.
And St. Peter.
And St. Peter and how, you know, how difficult it is leading... a new revolutionary movement in music and young people.
Is that really what it's about?
Is it? What's it really about, Jude?
That seems a little big-headed if that's what it's about.
Existential doubt.
It's about existential doubt.
Existential doubt.
We're going to have to listen to
the
lyrics.
I didn't get any of that from the lyrics.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the mighty Coldplay. And this is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. And folks, you may remember that we had a competition recently called Video Wars, where we invited you to submit videos for a couple of our Song Wars tracks. Jane's Brain, which I recorded, and Meatballs, which Joe recorded, only short ones. And we were overwhelmed with responses. We genuinely thought that we would get maybe 14 or 15 people who actually bothered to make videos for these tracks. In the end, we got 143 videos that people had made. All of them had a really impressive amount of effort. Maybe one or two, literally, were clearly like tossed off in about 2 or 3 minutes. The rest of them were pretty amazing, and some of them were extraordinary and clearly had like days of hard work put into them. So we had a judging session that the competition is now closed. You can't submit anymore, but Joe and
it was a proper judging session, yeah. Wasn't it? We had our producer Jude, we had Adam and I, we had Garth Jennings, the pop video and movie director, and we had a special lady from the BBC kind of, you know, head
T's
office.
T's and C's, was she saying? Terms and conditions. Yeah.
She was making us, forcing us to obey the precise letters of the rules.
Absolutely.
Give everybody a fair crack of the whip. You know, not be extra generous to anybody because they were particularly sophisticated. You know, technically, not to punish anybody for being technically sophisticated. Making sure that the judging criteria were correct.
To me, she embodied the BBC.
To me, she did as well.
You know, because she was a curious person. I haven't run across anyone like that in the BBC for a while. But she seemed like old school Big British
Castle.
She
should have been a Blue Peter presenter.
Yeah, she was very well spoken.
She was a sort of a Valerie Singleton character.
Exactly.
Sexy, but, you know, contained.
Mm. Absolutely. And extremely well-spoken, like proper newsreader-style voice she had with her clipboard. It was quite attractive. But also, like, when
the whole atmosphere in the judging room was very sexually charged.
But when we were looking through some of the entries, like, there was...
I had trouble concentrating.
She kept on sort of... When we were looking through the internet and stuff, she kept on saying, oh, I love that Ween track. Oh, that's one of my favourite Ween tracks and stuff. It was really bizarre, the juxtaposition of all her pop cultural nous with this kind of 50s...
Anyway, so she's won. We're giving her the prize.
That's what we wanted to tell you, listeners.
We've cancelled the competition, and she's coming to look around the studio. Yeah. And we're going to take her into the street.
Because we fell in love with her.
Yes.
That's not true. We have got a shortlist, and it was not easy to arrive at a shortlist.
Very tough. And if you're listening and you entered the competition, we'd like to thank you from the heart, from the bottom of our hearts. Because there were some brilliant entries, and it takes a lot to actually get up and film something, then edit it, then sync it to the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of hard work.
To say nothing of actually uploading it to YouTube,
Absolutely.
Which can sometimes take hours. Thank you very much to everyone who responded.
And we'll be announcing the winner when? In 2 weeks' time, yes. Yeah, so not next weekend at Summer Sunday, but the following weekend when we're back here in the studio on the 16th of August. We'll be announcing the winner of the extraordinary prize.
And let me tell you as well that I personally lobbied hard for there to be more than one winner, but apparently that was not in keeping with...
I lobbied hard for there to be no winner.
Yeah, Joe wanted to get the whole thing banned. But, you know, it felt unfair to me that we just had to narrow it down to one...
But now we know how whenever anybody announces a winner, they always go how incredibly hard it was.
And you always
and
think...
how all the entries... And right. You think, no, it wasn't.
Well, sometimes they say, well, the standard was incredibly high. It was being very... Yeah, and they're just lying. But this time we are not lying. It's the one time.
If you go onto YouTube, listeners, and do a search for Video Wars or Meatballs or Jane's Brain,
Yeah. You'll
come up with like 60 of these things, and you'll be able to have a look at the amazing range and quality of ideas that were submitted. But we were very excited and honoured that everyone made such an effort.
Before Joe's free play, just a little bit of housekeeping. It was Warwick Davis, who is the actor in Willow, of course, and another word for something that is of neither sex, apparently, is epicene. So there you go, little fun facts for you there. Now, Joe, what have you chosen for us?
This is a track from the late 80s, Adam. It's a hip-hop track. It's by a band called the Diss Masters.
Mm.
They're masters of the diss.
They love to diss.
This is a track called Black and Proud.
Goodbye.
Bye, then. That was Mr. E with the Eels and Susan's House. That was a session track. I think it was recorded for Joe Wiley. We think around about 97. We're not exactly sure. There's a little confusion there.
This is
around about then. Yeah,
Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, I was just going to say.
Oh, okay.
And then I did.
So you love the hipping and the hopping.
I like the hippity-hop.
You love to hip. You know, it's, what's your favourite, though, out of the two?
Well, that's a good question. I'd say I enjoy the hopping.
Of course. I mean, I expected you to say that. Who would, in their right mind, who would be
more... Well, hopping is terrific fun.
Who would be more
and
fun?
And it's great that there's a whole genre of music to hop to.
Lil Wayne Carter III.
Yes, Lil Wayne. He's huge.
Well, he's tiny, though.
Yeah, but he's huge.
Yeah, well, physically, he's tiny.
He is got the... He did until Nas knocked him off. Nas.
Yeah.
He had the number one album in America.
So I know almost nothing about Lil Wayne Carter, apart from the fact that I see his face on Tube posters and stuff, because he's got this new album out, and it's just the face of a little three-year-old boy, as far as I can tell, and he's got tattoos all over his face.
The child?
Yeah.
It probably doesn't really have them.
Is that Lil Wayne?
No, Lil Wayne's a man.
Oh.
That's probably... Could be Lil Wayne's child. To be perfectly honest, I don't really know anything about him.
Yeah.
As you will have heard from my choices today, my hip-hop taste resides in about 1989 and hasn't really progressed out of it.
Yeah.
I think he's quite kind of... you know, he's sort of not... When I say scary hip-hop, I don't mean that his lyrical content is scary, but there's a kind of meanness and measliness to the samples in a lot of modern hip-hop. Do you know what I mean? As if as melodies, they'd be used on some kind of horror film or something.
Oh, I see.
I never liked that kind of thing very much. I like kind of...
You like it more hippie-hop.
Hippity-hoppity.
Yeah, yeah.
Jazzy kind of stuff.
Well, I was mainly less curious about the music as the tattoos on the little
tattooed
kid's
child.
Face.
That's a good question.
Like, is that real? I mean, obviously, I would think it's not real. I think I would imagine it's a photo. You're not going to tattoo a three-year-old boy, are you?
Unless he asks you persistently.
That's
unless
what I'm
he
saying.
Really doesn't give up.
Yeah, or unless he's been naughty.
That tattoo on the face as a punishment.
Yeah.
What is tattooed on the child's face?
It's like little kind of... They look like astrological symbols or something, you know? I'm not exactly
sure. Good. It would hold a child back developmentally, wouldn't it?
You would think so.
Unless you got something really nice tattooed on there.
Because the tattoos are painful, aren't they?
And they're painful and they're permanent.
Pretty much permanent.
It's not the greatest gift you could give to a child.
Plus, if you're doing it on a child's face, they would expand as he grew as well, wouldn't they?
Well, you could make that part of the thing.
Part of the fun.
Part of the fun, yeah. You could make it a train, say, and the older he got, the more carriages would appear.
A train. That's a good idea.
Or a worm.
Yeah. A little worm, smiley face. Anyway, I just wanted to check. I didn't. I thought maybe you might know the answer.
I'm afraid I don't.
If anyone out there knows if the little child, Lil Wayne Carter child, is really tattooed, maybe they could let me know. Now it's music time, ladies and gentlemen. Here is Jack White with the White Stripes, and it's Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground. White Stripes, Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground. I can play that on my guitar. That's the first song I learned how to play on my guitar.
It sounds quite easy to play.
It's quite easy to play.
Yeah.
It's not so easy to sing. And
really?
Do a good job of.
I find it really easy to sing.
But it's only about four chords in there.
It's easy.
It's you're laughing, mainly. And I might sing that. I was thinking, because John Pearson, who sorts out some of the festival coverage here at the BBC, was saying, would we like to do anything at the Hub Tent at the festival, the Summer Sunday festival that we're going to be at next weekend? Joe, you weren't so keen on strutting your stuff.
I won't have any time to rehearse.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, so he said, well, Adam, do you want to play a song? You can play guitar. And I was like, well, I can technically play guitar.
I think he was suggesting you play a self-penned song, not cover a rock track.
He wasn't that specific.
I immediately thought,
might be time to play Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground.
Oh, I went to Summer Sunday last weekend. I saw Adam Buxton cover the White Stripes. It was incredible.
It was incredible. It's much better than the original. It's a lot better than the original.
He's so rock and roll.
I thought about doing that one, or I thought about doing She's Got Medals by David Bowie. Very early Bowie track.
I'll pop to the lav.
Or I might do one of my own. I don't know. It's I've written so many.
It's exciting.
It's very
Who knows
exciting.
What'll happen?
So, folks, we're in the middle of Text the Nation. Let's have the jingle again. Why not?
Text the Nation. Text, 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 text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
And Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about T-shirt slogans. You know, you see people wearing them in the street, and if you open a mag, you might find a page at the back with a whole load of different T-shirt designs you can send off for.
All-time great T-shirt slogans. What would your top choice be?
I don't know. I think the Ghostbusters logo, you just can't mess with that.
Not a humorous one?
Better.
Addy Hash.
I've never had one of those.
It's like
a lot of people are texting in and pointing out ones that are really appalling and should be stopped. Mm. Like there's an iPod one with a kind of iPod-style logo of someone sitting on the toilet. This came in via email.
Like a silhouette.
Joe Stenson. Yeah, a few weeks back in the town where I live, beautiful Leeds, I spotted a young gentleman strolling along wearing a T-shirt akin to that of the iPod advert with the silhouette characters upon it. However, this chap's shirt displayed an outline person sat on a toilet with headphones on. Underneath it read, I pooed.
Like it.
Do you?
Personally, I like it.
Would you you'd chat to that person?
I'd wear that.
You go, hey, couldn't help noticing your T-shirt.
You
don't know me. I'm Adam Buxton. I don't know you, but I'd really like to get to know you.
Do you want
to
hear me play Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground by the White Stripes? I know it. I can play it.
He's coming to the Summer Sunday, that guy.
I like
him. Coming all the way from Leeds.
He's a genius.
That's not such a good one.
I don't mind that one.
But it's a good trope, isn't it, to take a famous logo and turn it into something to do with either drugs or the toilet.
Mm.
As you said, Addy Hash.
Addy Hash.
That's a good one. Coca-Cola with just cocaine instead.
That is a big T-shirt,
Kids
that
love
one.
That.
They love that.
What else could we do that with?
The T-shirt we're talking about, not the actual drug.
What could we do that with?
Oh, there's got to be loads.
You want to get thinking. Say a supermarket name.
Well, listen, we're talking about Kellogg's Crunch earlier on, weren't
yes.
we?
Yes.
You turn that into, isn't there a drug called Crunk or Crank or something?
There's a dance called Crunk. There's a drug called Crank in Jason Stratham's bloodstream.
Or
what's he called? Statham? Stratham?
Statham.
Statham, there you go.
Or Crack, you could turn it. I mean, that's an obvious one. There's got to be loads
crack.
Of crack-based
So Kellogg's
t-shirt.
Crack?
Something. I mean, you wouldn't call it Kellogg's, otherwise it'd be a legal problem.
I think
problem.
That's good.
Yeah.
Snap, Crack and Pop. And it would have the three elves, and they've all got little pipes and syringes. And they're looking the worst for wear.
And they've just got a big bowl full of little
crack.
Rocks. of crack.
I like one of them one. Smoking it. That's a good idea.
It's good fun. Good clean fun.
Kellogg's wouldn't like that, would no, they?
Obviously.
And of course, that reflects in no way on that brand, and there are many other
and it's not
types
good,
of crack
it's
available.
Not good clean fun. Our producer Jude is holding her hands up in the air with a look of despair on her face. What one can only describe as despair and disappointment.
We haven't even read out any listener suggestions.
Go on, let's have some more.
Well, I'm not saying that I've got any.
Oh.
Wait,
it did
God.
Sound like that when you started saying that.
Okay, here's one from Charlie Mingles, internet millionaire.
Charlie Mingles.
Cramond, Edinburgh. Hmm. Is he really an internet millionaire? He will be, because his slogan is, I bought this T-shirt because I couldn't be asked developing an interesting personality.
Ooh.
That's fairly blunt, isn't it?
It's a little bit James
critical.
Blunt, yeah.
You'd be kind of superior to wear that, because it would obviously
snooty.
Be an ironic statement, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a statement about other people wearing T-shirts.
And then what if you run into someone with the Adihash T-shirt on? It's going to make them feel
clash.
Put upon, isn't it?
It is. Diminished.
Yeah.
But that might be good.
It's a bit snooty, that one.
Here's one from Russell Paul, Surrey. Is that his name? I don't know. He might be Russell Paul in Surrey. He says, crude design, but you get the idea. Oh, his name's Russ from Woolwich. It's got the word nipples in the middle and an arrow pointing right and left, either side of the word nipples. And then one saying belly button pointing down.
Okay.
No?
Not
getting anything? I mean, it's just stating the position of the nipples and belly button.
Yeah.
I suppose some people have those T-shirts going, the man, and it points upwards, the legend, and it points downwards. Do you
well, I haven't
that
seen
t-shirt?
That one.
That's quite a popular one. In fact, hasn't Justin Timberlake got that written on his tummy in The Love Guru? I'm the only one who's seen
You're the only one who's seen that one, yeah. Let's have some more music before we wrap up Text the Nation. It's Noah and the Whale time. This is 5 years' time.
Wherever you go, where are they from then, Noah and the Whale?
Well, I would say somewhere in the West Country, wouldn't you?
You would hope so.
Unless they're just...
They're being very unselfconscious about their West Country vocals, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Unless they're just singing like that because it's fun to talk like that, which we know it is.
It is fun to talk like that.
someone said we did an online web chat thing the other day for The Guardian, and someone said, I like the show except when you guys talk like babies.
Mm.
And I wasn't sure if he meant like...
It's just all the time.
Which one of the stupid voices was he referring to? I was confused, and I assumed it was probably the West Country voice when he talked like that. It is a little bit baby. Isn't it?
Yes.
But it's enjoyable. You know, Stephen Merchant, he's made a whole career out of it.
Exactly, yeah. But he doesn't affect it, I don't think.
Do you reckon?
No, I think it's
real. Stephen Merchant, he talks like that.
Let's have a jingle. Jingle?
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Text the Nation this week is your ideas for T-shirt slogans. That you could sell at, say, Camden Market and make a lot of money out of.
We haven't got any emails from anyone who can help us make this happen.
Yeah, we have, actually.
Have we?
Yeah, we've had a T-shirt manufacturer.
Ooh.
I don't know how that works with the Big British Castles rules, though.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe we need to go to BBC Worldwide. They're the commercial arm of the BBC, right?
I couldn't possibly comment.
We could knock out a deal with them.
Yeah.
Anyway, here are some ideas for top-selling celebrity T-shirt. What? Celebrity, you know, slogan T-shirts.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is from William Lee. He says, what ho? Another could simply be the words, quote, Tom Cruise hollows woodlice to make hiking shoes. A small woodlouse decal on the arm could also be applied.
I don't understand any of
Well,
what
I think
you
it's
said.
Supposed to be really abstract. Tom Cruise hollows woodlice to make hiking shoes. It's just random. It's student humour.
But I was thinking like, what is it? Because he's got tiny feet?
Maybe, exactly. He's got tiny feet.
What does that mean?
Well, it means he's got tiny feet.
I know.
And he's powerful and, you know, you want to throw mud at the king, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you don't bring him down a peg or two.
He's got
If he saw that in the street, he'd be terribly insecure.
Right.
Tom
I didn't,
Cruise.
That's unsettled me, that one.
Well, that's good. That's marketable for the credit crunch.
It's no I love lamp, I'll tell you that much.
Here's another one. This may be anonymous. My idea would be a picture of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Nice.
Sitting in a deck chair surrounded by masses and masses of hedges, all for himself, not letting anyone else share in the hedge fund.
That's a disgrace. I can't even believe you read that one out.
You're guessing this one ahead, aren't you?
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, exactly. There's nothing more to it, is it?
Here's another one. From Steve in Preston. This is like Frankie Says Relax, but he's suggesting crank... No, I'm not reading that out.
Like, what's wrong with Sonic the Hedge Fund or something like that? You know what I mean?
That would be better.
Hard to illustrate, I'll give you that, but...
That would be better. Here's another one from George Smith. He's saying a picture of Pete Doherty or Amy Winehouse with the phrase sex, drugs and sausage rolls underneath it.
Yeah.
Is that a bit porky?
There is a T-shirt around, you know, those Abercrombie and Fitch T-shirts, and it looks like kind of collegiate American university writing. And they say Apple Crumble and Fish. Is that good?
Oh, like Abercrombie and Fitch.
Exactly.
That's quite good. We're discovering that these T-shirt slogans, they're not laugh out loud, are they? Generally, as a rule. They're more things to think about.
Yeah.
Because what's funny about, you know, the Coca-Cola logo with
being
the word
mutated
cocaine, into the word cocaine.
Subversive, isn't it?
Is that funny?
Well, it's just a bit
Coca-Cola
of enjoyable
used
subversion.
Coca-Cola used to contain cocaine, didn't it, famously?
In the olden days,
in the olden days.
When it was nice.
It's just a bit of factual history.
That was classic Coke.
Someone else is suggesting, Cameron McEwen suggesting a T-shirt with Danny Dyer on it with the slogan, anyone got a spare trilogy?
What trilogies is he involved with?
He says on the commentary of, what's his latest film? Straight Heads, one of those commentaries. Oh no, the one about him and Sean Bean taking revenge on the nonces.
Oh yes.
What was that one called?
Revenge.
Revenge of the Nonce.
I'm going to get you.
On the commentary of that, he talks about how jealous he is of Orlando Bloom. Because he's got two trilogies.
He wants a trilogy.
I mean, Lord of the Rings. And then he goes and gets the other one. What is it? Pirates of the Caribbean. He's got two trilogies. That's not fair.
Not fair. Well, I mean, if we were to spin off something from our show here on Six Music, I guess it would be Stephen we could have. And also, I don't know, maybe just a Text the Nation T-shirt.
I feel I haven't got the best ones out of all these texts.
I was feeling that as well. A little bit.
I don't think I've applied myself properly to vetting them.
Do you want another go? We'll play some more music. And
well, I tell you what, I'll have a look through them and see if I've missed any really good ones. They may have been the best ones.
We can wrap it up before the news. Now, here's a free choice for you listeners. I've chosen this for you. Lovely Nick Drake. You know, you can't really go wrong with Nick Drake, can you? And this is a track that I was inspired to play because I'm reading a book at the moment, which was a gift someone gave me, called White Bicycles.
That sentence would have been impressive enough if you just ended at the word moment. I'm reading a book at the moment.
Yeah, that word.
That's
actually
good, isn't it? For you?
Well, it's quite. I read a lot of books, but they're all
do
about
you?
Music. And this
right.
is another one.
Right.
White Bicycles by Joe Boyd, who was a producer, worked with Nick Drake and all sorts of great jazzers. And it's a wonderful book. It's really enjoyably written. I recommend it strongly, highly. And he obviously talks about his work with Nick Drake and this track, in fact. And it's one of Nick Drake's best. And it's called Saturday Sun.
It's ironic because it's not sunny. Even though it is Saturday.
That's a very good choice, Adam, for that very reason.
I thought I'd say that.
A young man.
I thought I'd say, I thought I'd use my voice to say those words, and I did.
So I've been looking through all the Text the Nations, your ideas for T-shirt slogans and the like, and I'm struggling to come up with any that are better than Adam and mine.
Uh-huh.
I'm not being self-aggrandising on purpose.
What about the Scooby-Doo one?
That's quite good. This is from Maddie from Colchester. She says, hello, my idea is Shaggy skidding on a dog poo... And the caption, Scooby-Doo-Doo.
Well, you say it in that dismissive way you read it out.
Well, it's to make you seem small.
Here's how I would say it. Shaggy, he slides on a dog poo, and the caption is, Scooby-Doo-Doo. And then people would want to buy the shirt, not the way you said it, all like dismissive.
Well, you're on a rival stall. I'm trying to do down your produce. I've got one that was designed by Mrs. Cooper that has Mulder and Scully with jazz cigarettes in their mouths, saying, take me to your dealer.
Well, that just exists, doesn't it? I mean, that's just a very, very slight variation on the take me to your dealer T-shirt that already exists with an alien.
Yeah, but the variation is the key. It's different. Kids like to be different.
That's a very retro reference as well, Mulder and Scully.
Yeah. So in short, to sum up, I'm not sure I've got any more texts. Text the Nation.
I can't believe people didn't think of some more variations on the Pope. There must be more fun to be had with the Pope, surely.
Well, what more can he do?
Apart from smoke dope.
Yeah, it's dangerous enough. I mean, he's the head of the Catholic Church and he's inhaling.
What about
marijuana?
Some cheeky Muslim fun?
Well, you're on your own there, Adam Buxton.
I mean, there's got to be
music.
There's got to be loads of fun to be had there for
Listen,
t-shirts.
why not prepare that material on paper?
And we'll
go through it before
producer's
next
running
week.
Out in fear.
Yeah,
come on, everyone likes a t-shirt chuckle. That's not.
I just don't think that's a good idea.
Too sensitive.
I think it's a cul-de-sac.
Is it too sensitive? 5 years. Give it 5 years, and it'll be fine.
Right? Do you think?
Yeah. Because that's got to be fertile territory. God. For a t-shirt fun, you would think. Now, listen, folks, we are coming up to half past the hour. Only half an hour left of our show. It's so nice to be back with you. We're not going anywhere for a
while.
Thanks,
man.
I wasn't talking to you. No, it is. It's lovely to be back with you, too.
Thanks,
Joe.
Man.
You've washed and you look really well. Your
Thank
shingles
you.
Have all cleared
shingles
up.
Shingles have gone.
It's good. And we're going to listen to some news soon. But after that, in the last half hour...
There's something to look forward to.
I
love the Adam and Joe show. The thing I love best is the news.
The news. They tell you what's happening in the world and all the things. But after that, in the last half hour, we're going to remind you of Song Wars this week. We're going to play you our Bond songs again for Quantum of Solace.
Mm.
So that's something to look forward to as well.
But for now, here's the news read by Harvey Cook and the music news with Elizabeth Alka. That was the Smiths with Big Mouth Strikes Again, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's time to play our Song Wars songs again. So let's have a jingle.
It's time for Song Wars. The war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. So check it out.
So we're offering these two potential Quantum of Solace theme songs to the producers for use for free if Keys and White don't come up with the goods, right?
Yeah.
If their duet isn't up to scratch.
Or another alternative is an end theme. I mean, will Keys and White's thing be at the end anyway?
That's a good question. Do they have the song at the end? I don't know. That's a good question. I've usually left by then.
It's David, not David Holmes. Who's the guy?
David Arnold.
David
brilliant
Arnold.
Composer. He does the proper music.
He would be doing the opening titles.
Yeah.
Right.
So he would probably do an orchestral version of the opening title over the closing theme. Do you know what disappointed me in the last Bond movie, Casino Royale?
No, I don't.
It was there were no ladies dancing in the opening bit of Graphics.
Have they got rid of all that?
Yes, they just had playing cards.
Oh.
Like people being killed. They were like flicking playing cards, weren't they? And they were like stabbing people in the chest. I liked it when they had naked ladies
Absolutely.
Swinging on the barrels of guns.
Definitely, and you were straining to see if there was anything
the
poking out.
The opening sequence to The Spy Who Loved Me is one of the most erotic pieces of film I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
They're totally nude.
They are. That's what I'm saying.
And they're in. There's one bit where they're in Russian hats, Usurka, Ushanka, whatever those Russian hats are called. And then, but they haven't got anything else on.
No.
And they're marching like a dirty army.
Yeah.
And I like that army.
Absolutely.
I want to be invaded.
No,
by
I
them.
Always used to. I always used to think. When I was watching that film as a youngster, I always used to think, that's what I want. That's my job when I grow up is to do the opening titles for the...
Yes.
Well, you know, or to get my hands on the film before it's been all silhouetted.
And do what?
Watch it.
Just take
over
it to your bedroom
again.
And close the door.
Yes. Now, listen, let's play our songs.
Yeah, we're going to start with mine this time. So they're both songs are called Quantum of Solace. This is Joe's song. And yeah, it's called Quantum of Solace.
Mm.
He's got a gun and great big man tits. He's got jug ears and tiny trunks. Dame Judi Dench is furious with him. He's gone completely out to lunch. The quantum of
the
solace.
Quantum of solace.
I don't know what that means.
What does it mean?
He's having flashbacks in black. The stunt team from the Bond films and lots of product sponsorship. The Sanctum of
the
Qualis.
Sanctum of Qualis.
Did I get it confused?
I got it mixed up.
He's nearly dead, no, really nearly. It's much more gritty than before. No silly gadgets, just lots more fighting. That French bloke that does parkour. The thingy of what?
Something of Boris.
I forgot what it's called.
Is that what it was?
Sometimes I wish Roger
quantum of solace.
The quantum of solace.
I've written it down.
Remember it now.
Attempting to use there the klaxon sound from the N64 game GoldenEye.
Thereby beguiling klaxons fans as well.
And video game nerds.
Mm.
That was my song, Joe's Quantum of Solace song. If you want to vote for that, email. Don't text. It simply won't be counted and you'll get us into terrible trouble and fined and
you
stuff.
You may also die.
You may die because lives have been lost in the great telly and radio media lying scandal. But the email address is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
You used the word or phrase man tits.
Yes.
In there.
Yes. He does have... You know, I've made a little video for that I'm going to put up on YouTube.
Have you?
Yeah. It's just made from non-cleared film footage.
Yeah. Of Craig and his...
It illustrates most of the points in a very unimaginative, explicit, you know, just direct way.
You're a little bit unkind about in there. I mean...
I'm just jealous of the... He's got very firm man breasts.
He's got amazing equipment.
He has. And I was sitting at the table next to him at the BAFTAs last year.
Ooh.
Didn't talk to him. That's hardly a name drop. But he was very handsome.
Yeah.
His wife's very beautiful.
You called him jug-eared with
mantis. I think he's brilliant. I love I'm really excited about the Bond film. I just feel as a radio comedian, it's just necessary just to be lazily, you know, negative about everything.
It behooves you. Okay, so here is mine, Adam Buxton's Quantum of Solace song right now.
I'm working for the Brits. I've got cars and guns and gadgets. I've got ladies with big brains. I've got licenses to kill. I've got licenses to fish. I've got sexy suits and air miles. But here's my biggest wish. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace before I shoot you. Bottom location chase, bottom location chase. Shooting dirty baddies in the busy foreign street. Bottom location chase, bottom location chase. Running all around and now I've really hurt my feet. Ow.
So, Mr. Bond.
Yes, hello.
You want to stop me?
I do want to stop you, yes, but only if it's exciting.
I met a lovely lady, but found out she was a rotter. So we exchanged some saucy quips. I snogged her, then I shot her.
But I felt quite bad because I'm such a modern, complex guy. Sometimes this job gets to you, and maybe that is why. I'd like a quantum of solace, but no more than a quantum. I know they do big bags of solace, but I don't want them. I only want a teeny tiny slice of solace
before I shoot you.
Quantum of solace, I'm saying the name of the film over the music. Quantum of solace, I did it again just there.
I think we will meet again, Mr. Bond.
Okay, I.
So there we go, the feuding Quantum of Solace songs. Text your vote. No, email it to adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Are we having a trail now?
Yeah, I think we should have a trail and a little bit of Kings of Leon to follow that. Enjoy! Oh, well done. That's very good stuff, isn't it? That's the Kings of Leon with Crawl. And you're listening to Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's nearly the end of our show, though, I'm sorry to say, listeners.
It's 10 to noon.
10 to noon. But the good news is that, of course, our podcast will be back tomorrow evening, available to download sometime after about 6 p.m, thanks to the tireless efforts of our production team here at Six Music. So that's something to look forward to. And maybe we even enjoyed some of the placeholders that we had in the meantime.
You mean the people who sat in for us?
No, I mean some of the little 1 minute things that we did instead of our podcasts.
God, that was a bit, I was being a bit demeaning there towards the people who sat in for us.
Referring
to them as placeholders.
Yeah, you were.
When they were actually more famous and talented than us.
Yes, thank you so much, David Quantic and Alan Carr, who sat in for us while we were away.
And
not together, of course.
And they had some assistance, didn't they, from other people as well. But I was in, I went to Los Angeles again the first week we were away.
You love it. You're practically from Los Angeles.
I'm trying to move there if I can. That's not true at all.
What's it like there?
It's amazing. Yeah. You could never afford to go, someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's extraordinary. Bill Clinton is the president.
Mm-hmm.
And
he plays the jazz saxophone.
He's a saxophonist.
And he's always stoned.
And there's a new film that's just come out there called Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. It's like, remember the Camp 60s series?
Yeah.
They've made it dark for the noughties.
That's a good idea.
It's all about terrorism now and 9/11.
Brilliant.
And it's important.
Mm.
Yeah. No, but while I was out there, I went to see a film that has kind of a cult reputation and people always talk about very fondly, Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of a bit of a touchstone for our generation, isn't it? For just sort of instant, oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I actually went to see it at a cinema projected. It was on at the New Beverly, which is this really good little repertory cinema.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I think it was a Tuesday night. And we all went down there to see it. And of course, who does it star?
It stars David Bowie.
David as the Goblin King.
A wizard, wizard, wizard.
And word has it, people were gossiping. There was lots of chit-chat from film nerds. Apparently, he's ashamed of it.
No.
And he doesn't like it.
Dance, baby, dance.
And, it's extraordinary.
Turn.
He plays a Goblin King in a land of puppets. If you haven't seen it, you should really get the DVD. It's a really odd, peculiar thing. It's, who's it directed by? Is it Frank Oz? Or it's one of those Henson people directing it? And I think it's written by Terry Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Terry Jones is
the
writer.
And it's one of the last big pre-digital creature films.
Right.
So it's got loads of amazing puppetry techniques.
Was it
in
around the same time as The Neverending Story or somewhere like that?
The same time, maybe before, yeah.
That was directed by Wolfgang Petersen, I think.
The director of Das Boot.
That's a strange one. That could have done with a bit of Bowie.
But let's not get off. Stay
action.
On topic. Stay on topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Labyrinth. And it reminded me how wonderful it was if you were a kid in that decade. You could see a film like that, and then you could go home and try all the techniques,
mm-hmm.
right? I used to go up to my bedroom and use all my toys and puppets and things.
Oh, try those techniques.
And reconstruct all the puppetry techniques.
I thought you meant like the codpiece techniques.
I'm going to wear some tights and stuff some socks down my tights.
Oh, that's another thing.
Dance around like a massive codpiece pixie king.
Seeing it on the big screen, his bits and bobs are completely available for all to view.
Bowie's bits and bobs have been available in other films.
Really?
You've seen Man Who Fell to Earth, right?
Yeah, but that's an adult film.
All the bobs
this
and the
bits.
This
is a children's film. I'm not winding this up. It's too exciting. And it's got the chick from, what's her name, from The Hulk and...
yes, that's right.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Aged about 14.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to seduce her.
Ooh.
The Goblin King does not know contemporary sexual mores or parameters. Anyway, you should see it again. And we're going to play you out now with Bowie's amazing theme song from Labyrinth. It's underground. It's a kind of a gospel, an epic journey into pop gospel.
You can probably fire it off, Jude. I imagine the introduction's about 5 minutes long.
Oh, I love that sound.
Yeah.
But go rent out Labyrinth if you're depressed this weekend, because it'll make you happy and confused, and it's like smoking crack. But for kids.
Happy and confused.
Yeah. Not that I've ever done
it's
that.
It's deadly as well.
Gary Crowley's next. Wow.
Fantastic.
What a morning.